And now, welcome to Oasis Forum, where we explore issues that can help us positively evolve our lives, our society, and our planet. Oasis Forum features authors, activists, artists, and healers working to increase our appreciation of the interconnectedness of life on Earth. Each week, we explore a new topic that impacts our health, our families, our communities, our work, and our environment. Our goal is not just to discuss present challenges, but to develop an awareness of root causes and, importantly, to explore potential solutions. At Oasis Forum, our aim is to inspire hope and share practical ideas for creating a world that works for all. And good evening. This is John Michael, and you are listening to Oasis Forum. Welcome to our beautiful Sunday night here in New Hampshire. And we have some special guests here coming from Western Massachusetts, all the way up in this beautiful weather. We have Ingrid Bredenberg of Montague and Joseph DeCenso, who will share information about their workshop called Can We Talk? Ingrid is president of Human Innovations Consulting Group, founder of Life Shaping, and author of the Numinescence CD, of which I will speak more a little bit later. A creativity catalyst, dancer, and master trainer and facilitator, Ingrid has led professional and personal development programs for over 20 years. Joseph DeCenso is a counselor and a coach in private practice and a certified facilitator of shadow work, a transformational process work deriving from Jungian and Gestalt psychologies. That's a lot to get in one sentence. He also co-leads trainings with the Mankind Project, an international nonprofit corporation specializing in men's education and training, and is a certified breathwork facilitator. Welcome, Joseph and Ingrid.
Thank you,
John.
Thanks for being here. This is great fun because the subject of communication between men and women, intimacy, and really between any two people is really an important topic in this day and age, especially given the what we often perceive in the national conversation as a lot of divisiveness and bitterness. The type of work that you do is really, really welcome. So thanks for being here and being willing to talk about it.
Thanks for having us.
Before we get into what your work is about, I'd like to ask each of you to talk just a little bit about yourselves. Ingrid, I know you do a lot of different things. I only began to enumerate them, I'm sure, with the list that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, with your organizational consulting and life shaping. In your work with people, you know, what do you see people hungry for these days?
Mm. Well, always at the root of everything, I think, is that we want to make a difference and we want to be connected. And so my work, whether it's with individuals or groups in organizations, is helping people work together better. And I do that through leadership development, and I also do it through communication work. And the work, of course, that I'm doing with Joseph is very specific to connection and communication between men and women. And it's all of a piece in a way, because it does seem that we all do want to connect and be able to do what we do with ease and joy. That can be so elusive.
And I've actually been in some of the stuff that you've done, and I can attest to the fact that you're very playful and you really help put people at ease.
Thank you.
Sure. And Joseph, if someone was hearing about men's work for the first time, I mentioned that you were doing the Mankind Project, what would you want them to know about it? Just what are men getting together for, and what kind of impact is it having on their lives? And if you wanted to tell us anything else that you're involved with professionally, you know, what shadow work is about. Do you want to give us a quick synopsis?
Sure. Well, regarding men's work and the Mankind Project in particular, which I've been involved with for about 10 years now, I think men are coming to those programs with a desire to get more in touch with both their emotional selves and what they want out of their own lives and their ability to create that. So we talk about that with the word mission. We're helping men connect to their whole self and from that place to answer the question, what is my personal mission? And what stops me from living that more fully? So that introduces, you mentioned shadow work, that introduces the Jungian concept of shadow, what part of me doesn't want me to succeed at my mission.
The saboteur.
Right. Mm-hmm. Comes under many names.
Mm-hmm.
So we're also breaking the code of silence or the isolation that so many men experience, that we're not, it's not as easy for us as men to connect with each other in those questions or with those questions. It's maybe easy to connect at sports events or in the bar or in other venues where those conversations may not happen. So breaking that isolation and helping men connect. We actually don't only offer a weekend workshop. We offer something we call an I group, which is an integration group that can go on for many years. I'm in a group that is now, I think, on its 13th year of existence. So some deep bonds that can last mm-hmm. a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the shadow work, which I've been involved with since about the year 2000, professionally, it's about integration. It's about looking at the parts of me that I've disintegrated, I've cast into shadow or tried to deny are parts of me for very valid reasons, perhaps, but that each of us comes to a point in our lives where we realize there are parts that I'm needing more access to if I'm going to live my life more fully, more wholly. And shadow work is one way of reintegrating the parts of ourselves.
Shadow work is a fascinating area of discussion, and I hope as we get a little bit further into our discussions tonight, maybe we can touch a little bit more about the peculiarities of the male psyche as well as the female psyche, and maybe have you back at some point to spend an entire session on shadow work, because we could go on and on, I'm sure. It's really fascinating. Things that are hidden in this culture. Do you think things are hidden in this culture?
Just a little
maybe. So how long have you two been working together with this intimacy and communication?
About three years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We started about 3 years ago over dinner and a glass of wine and exploring what is it that we could do together, because we were friends. We'd known each other for a few years, and we liked each other a lot. And I know I certainly appreciated the work that I'd seen Joseph do. We both were interested in his case, men's work, and I'd been leading women's circles for many years. And that's when we really struck on, it really came down to our personal lives, that in our own relationships, we were looking for a connection with a partner that was deep and courageous and fun and would really help us heal as individuals. And we thought, well, that's sort of the new frontier. We'd each been working in our own gender, and now it was time to bring those genders together.
Mm-hmm.
And while we aren't in any ways expert around couples group per se, or couples work rather, or relationships from the standpoint of a therapeutic model, our work and our expertise has to do with creating a safe environment for people to have deep dialogue,
mm-hmm.
deep conversations, deep open-hearted, scary conversations even.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the 3 years that we've been experimenting with this has really confirmed that we are skillful in this, and that people that come and join in the groups that we have leave feeling stronger in themselves and more connected with others, and that they've learned something.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about something being scary. What is scary when people come together, to men and women in particular? What might be a scary area for them to really start talking about?
Well, I don't think there even needs to be an area. Right off the bat, I think there's so much to this concept of a gender gap or the gender divide. I know I'm early in my 40s, so I grew up in a time where I heard lots of things about the patriarchy and machismo and male chauvinism, and there was a lot in my growing up years that with the feminist movement coming into the fore, that taught me that there was this divide, and I harbored guilt about being a man and being a member of that club. So I think as soon as men and women walk into a room together where the focus is for there to be a conversation across gender, there can be all kinds of fears about, am I going to say something that's going to offend? Or am I going to reveal myself to be sexist? Or maybe from the women's side, am I going to let my anger out, you know, in a way that's going to be inappropriate? Or so, and then if you introduce some of the juicy topics we introduced, like we started out putting money in as the centerpiece of the conversation.
Whoa.
So, you know, that's a pretty loaded topic, whether it's just a men talking about among men or women talking among other women, but mix those two together, money and gender, and you got some pretty live wires there in people.
Can you give us kind of a little peek into maybe one or two of the issues that came up for people when you put the money in the middle?
Well, we talked about inheritance. We all have an inheritance, and it includes the belief systems that we carry over from our parents or grandparents or people of authority. And so we each come with our so-called truth about money, and often that's tied in with power and love and all kinds of things. So what we would do in the workshops is help people or have people talk about their inheritance. What beliefs do they carry over? Mm-hmm. Either they've chosen them as their own or they've rejected them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even in rejecting, we become then, we're all about rejecting a belief. And so if the belief that we're rejecting is maybe to save a lot of money because our parents might have come from a depression time, we can take that to the other extreme of never saving, mm-hmm. and being in debt. Mm-hmm. And where has that inheritance taken us? So lots of interesting things around that. And so just even bringing out what maybe in a relationship was taboo, I think gave people a sense of freedom and relief that these topics were on the table and mm-hmm. they could hear not only themselves but each other mm-hmm. talk about them, get different perspectives, and realize that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of, in shadow work, we talk a lot about lifting shame. And there's a lot of shame to be lifted around money. So people who work with shame talk about that just the act of speaking aloud and being witness is a very powerful way to move shame, to lighten it or lift it.
Mm-hmm.
So for a man to talk about the weight of the stereotype that the man is supposed to always pick up the check for the dinner, you know, when a man takes a woman out or when a man and woman go out to dinner. So we've often had that brought in some form of a question or a statement mm-hmm. about, geez, you know, but then if I do that or if I open the door for her, you know, am I being sexist at the same time? So, you know, so one of my inheritances, I remember my grandfather or my father telling me that my grandfather would often say that money makes pigs out of men. Mm-hmm. So that's deeply in me. I've heard it enough, and
wow.
It's a powerful statement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there's, of course, the cultural overlay for men that a man's self-worth is connected to his net worth.
Exactly.
So that sets up in me a real strong contradiction. And then bring to that, how is a man supposed to be with a woman
mm-hmm.
around money?
Mm-hmm. And isn't it true that, you know, until someone has maybe looked at these questions, that a woman might expect or a man might expect, and if they don't, you know, follow through with the typical cultural set of habits, that there will be a feeling of, you know, hurt on the other part of the other person. So how is it that you coach people to, you know, work with the diversity of consciousness levels, I guess you could say, that are out there, when they might leave a workshop and get, you know, a really strong sense of validation and being able to speak with the opposite sex and be able to work through issues, but then they go out in the world and the people that they're meeting every day might not have done that kind of work. How do you coach people to work with that?
Mm. Well, first of all, our workshops are not so long that I think we have these evening practice sessions, is what I would call them, or skill-building sessions.
They're all of 3 hours.
Yeah, so if people leave having a sense of more self-confidence, or more importantly, how to frame a question,
mm-hmm.
I think is really the skill that we're most interested in helping people learn
mm-hmm.
in that amount of time,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing that there's ways of framing a question that actually invites more information, more truth, makes it safe, and also many times gives you the information that's most useful. Sometimes if we ask a ask a question. I'm trying to think. You think of one, perhaps, but what, you know.
Yeah. Why do you always do that thing I hate?
Right. Right. That's a great one.
That's a great question, isn't it?
You know. So the information that you'll get from it. Why do you always do the things I hate? First of all, there's an assumption that the person knows it or is intentionally doing that. And the second part is, if they did answer that, you just get answers about what you hate, rather than asking a person, what is it that you love, or what would encourage you to do things for me that are loving. So that's just to kind of turn it around. What's inherent in a question usually is what we most want to know, what our heart is calling out for.
Right, and we help people find that, because often the first crack at a question, they may know what they're longing for, but it may not actually come out in their formulation of that question. The complement to that, helping people ask powerful questions that are really geared to get them what they want, is one of our ground rules. Even though our sessions are very short, 3 hours, we take time at the beginning of each one to set some simple ground rules. And one of them is to make I statements, to talk about, I talk about myself. So when I'm opening my mouth and speaking, you're hearing about me, not about you, or not about the world, or not about my philosophy. So we really encourage people to listen inward and then share from that place. This is my experience, or this is what I'm feeling right now, or this is what I'd like right now. And I think people can take that out into the world. We had somebody in our session. We just did a session last Thursday, and we have some people who are repeat customers, which we love. And she talked about one of our other ground rules is to use the word and in the place of but, and how she was practicing that out in the world in her daily interactions. A simple practice around language that changes one's mindset from it's either this or that to it could be both this and that.
Could you give us an example?
Well, sure. One we do when we're teaching the ground rules is, I really love you, but I'm so angry at you right now. Versus, I really love you, and I'm really angry right now at you.
They both can coexist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. One does not nullify the other.
And perhaps one actually determines the other more so than...
Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So you have this process that you call inquiry, and you start people off with asking... Can you tell me a little bit more about how you get
people? We've been talking about actually the inquiry process. Okay. That in the course of the program, we'll have the men be together and the women be together and formulate some questions. And again, the way Joseph was saying, sometimes they're not, people aren't always clear what they really want to know. So they'll ask a question. Like a woman will ask a question of the men. And it could be something like, what would make me attractive to you? Now, usually they don't come out with that quite so boldly. They might have a bit of a story about what do men want. And then we'll coach them on, well, are you wondering just what do men want, or are you wanting something that's specifically useful to you?
Right, right.
So we'll have them get to the place of saying, what would make me attractive to you as a partner?
Right.
And so the feedback that they'll get, to the men that choose to answer, will answer from their own perspective, their own truth, not men would want this.
Right, right.
It's what they personally find attractive or would find attractive in a woman.
So it's almost like we're always going for the most personal. We can get it, both for the person asking the question and the person or persons who choose to answer it. So in a way, it's kind of like we're setting up these surrogate lover moments where the man who would answer that woman's question would answer it as if he were a potential lover or a present lover. And there's something very refreshing, I think, about that, because we all know that's not happening. I mean, maybe some people have picked up people at our programs that we don't know about, but that's not the goal. So... The person gets to suspend disbelief suspend belief for a moment and hear this person who she knows, this is not my lover, but I'm hearing, or and I'm hearing, mm-hmm. what he really believes about what's attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that process would really help to overcome stereotypes very quickly as well.
Yeah.
It does.
Because you have to get into the particulars. Like, yeah. You know, what about me now and you now, instead of just generally, I think and I'm hoping that people will find what I'm doing attractive, but never really having the feedback, which can probably be crazy-making,
right.
I guess, for,
yep.
a lot of people.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, is we ask people to describe behaviors very specifically that would let you know that you trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you know that you trust me? Mm-hmm. What would I need to do, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, just anything that really lets a person know what the behavior is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a particularly good one. Do you want to say anything more about that? About, you know, the trust cues in
mm-hmm.
behavior with people? What is it that makes people trust them?
I'm trying to think now what people have said.
I think one is, well, this is a negative, but I can bring it to a positive, is to not be attacked. You know, a lot of what we hear around communication, what people want is, If you bring an upset to me, that you're bringing it in a constructive way and you're telling me about yourself. You're not berating me or judging me or shaming me for something I've done or not done. So that certainly builds trust, is when I can tell you I love you and I'm angry,
mm-hmm.
and then proceed to tell you, here's what happened, here's how I reacted,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you about me at each point of the way. I'm telling you more and more about me, and then perhaps making a request of you,
mm-hmm.
versus, why do you always do those things I hate?
Right,
what's wrong with you that yep. you keep doing the things I hate?
Yep.
So those, that attacking language.
Exactly.
So that's a clear trust builder.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we're going to take a little break here and come back and continue our most stimulating conversation with Ingrid Bredenberg and Joseph DeCenso, executive coaches and facilitators of the Can We Talk workshop. And when we come back, in fact, we will be opening the lines for your phone calls, and we'll give you a little incentive also, but we won't tell you what that is until actually we come back. So hang on, and we'll be right back with you.
Relax. One of the best investments you can make in yourself, and one of the most effective ways to improve your efficiency at work, may be to relax on a regular basis. Leisure time pursuits should be considered a necessity, not a luxury. Planning a business trip? Add on some free time and bring along the family, say experts at the Hilton Family of Hotels Leisure Time Advocacy Board. For help planning any type of trip, visit www.myleisuretrip.com.
Psychoacoustics is the scientific study of sound perception. Psychoacoustics is also a full-spectrum music show on Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4 in between Real Jazz and the Dead Hour. On Psychoacoustics, you can hear new music from the WKNH Library and music that's been around for a while. Rock, pop, reggae, electronica, jazz, blues, world beat, chamber music, symphonica. Tony picks the music and takes requests on 358-TUNE, and Larry shows up when he can to chat about life and the times. Listen for Psychoacoustics on Thursdays from 2 to 4, right here on WKNH.
And welcome back to Oasis Forum. This is John Michael, your host. And tonight we have in our studios Ingrid Bredenberg of Montague, Mass., and Joseph DeCenso. Oh, and where are you from, Joseph?
I live in Hatfield, which is a little further south on the banks of the Connecticut River.
Indeed. And they're here talking about their Can We Talk workshop, in which they bring men and women together to explore issues of intimacy and communication. They're both executive coaches. And Joseph also is a counselor in private practice, certified facilitator of shadow work. And other things. Ingrid is president of Human Innovations Consulting Group and of Life Shaping. And I promised to tell you about the incentive that we have. So Ingrid was nice enough to bring a bunch of her CDs called Numinescence. And what does numinescence mean, Ingrid?
Well, it's a word that actually is a combination of two words. Numen is spirit or God, and essence is of course the essence of it, or becoming. There's two meanings of it. So it's a becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a word that just sort of came to me as the idea of becoming our divine selves, mm-hmm. which to me is the life journey, mm-hmm. remembering this. Mm-hmm. These visualizations are wonderful for exploring and revisiting and rediscovering one's own creativity and one's calling, as well as a chance to be with your own beloved, whether it's another person or, again, that divine spirit within.
Mm-hmm. So this is there's three visualizations on the CD, mm-hmm. the inner child, ideal day, and being with your beloved. And it's set to beautiful improvised music, I understand. What kind of music is it?
Well, some three fabulous musicians played. We have sitar and cello and flute. And these musicians, we recorded actually up here in New Hampshire, mm. in a studio just north of here. Very, very beautiful music, and then the voiceovers, that I'm doing the voiceovers, and another one with a partner.
So the incentive that we have for you is if you call in on our radio show tonight, we have five of these CDs that Ingrid has brought to give away to our first five callers. I'm not sure we'll actually get to all five callers in the next 35 minutes, but you can give us a call at 358-8863. That's area code 603.